My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
A certain radio executive, speaking at a time of stress, told the press that the BBC had, I quote, more musicians than we need playing in inflexible combinations. I'm grateful to David Cook of Southampton for pointing that out. He and you, I hope, will note that our cast for My Music is also an inflexible combination. In other words, John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton.
Are you going to go?
And I turn with relief to the first question. John, the first question for you. Can you name, please, two composers involved in this?
Francis Poulenc, the composer, was invited to play his piano concerto in Boston. And he thought they would be terribly pleased if he incorporated Way Down Upon the Suwannee River. Nobody had given him a map of the United States. They weren't at all chuffed.
That's right. He wrote it for the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
He made that ghastly error. Do you know the composer of Suwannee River, the composer's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Stephen Foster.
Stephen Foster. Your mate has come up with it, yes. So that's a nice theme mark. Francis Poulenc and Poulenc and Stephen Foster. Frank, your turn. Who's the singer, please?
When you told me not to
It's Ian Wallace again, isn't it? Either that or it's the unsinkable Dorothy Squires.
The absolutely unsinkable Dorothy Squires. It was Dotty, yes. I was the arranger on her first records. Did you know? I'll close my eyes and all those.
Billy Reid's songs.
Yes, Billy Reid's songs. Ian, can you identify this voice?
Well sung, John.
Thanks.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Pavarotti, absolutely, yes. Dennis, a song with something of a history.
Sunday's gloomy, my hours are slumberless. Dearest, the shadows I live with are numberless. Little white flowers will never awaken you. Not where the black coach of sorrow has taken you.
Gloomy Sunday.
And the history was strange, wasn't it? Not that it was
genuine. Well, yes, they do say that it was enjoyed one of those sort of cults in America for a time, where people all over the place committed suicide.
Well, they said actually in, I think, Sweden is where it's supposed to have happened.
Well, Sweden, but also it was among the college campuses. Yes. But I don't think they ever verified it.
Just publicity. In this next round, would you please, all four, write down your answer? There's a separate question for each of you. John, first, you. John, where in music would you find Menelaus? You write down the answer. Frank, where might you find first, second, and even third and fourth elves? Ian, where would you find the Egyptian Helen? And Dennis, where might the omniscient seashell be located? The omniscient seashell. Can I go back round for the answers now? John, where would you find Menelaus in music?
I think you'd find him in an opera by Berlioz called The Trojans.
You might, well, because he's from the Trojan story, yes.
And you might also find him in some of the Gluck operas.
Yes, that's true too. Frank, the first, second, third and fourth elves?
From the collective works of Elves Presley. or the first third or fourth verses of "Here's an elf unto his majesty."
That's very often.
La, 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 la.
Ian, where would you find the Egyptian Helen?
La Belle Hélène of Offenbach.
Oh, yes, right.
Or in a pyramid.
Yes, that's nice. Yes, not too far in, we hope. Dennis, where might the omniscient seashell be located, I asked you?
On the beach at Ballybally.
It happened on the beach at Ballybally.
Yeah.
Four interesting answers. The answer, of course, is, in a sense, is the same to all four questions. In Richard Strauss's The Egyptian Helen, Opus 75, all those things are to be found. But they all got their marks just the same. Frank, would you like some dates? Don't want to commit yourself.
I don't know yet.
Have some dates. Speaking of someone whose birthday is on April the 1st, I'm rather date conscious. Let me see if you are. John, who was born on the 29th of February, 1792? 29th of February.
Oh, 29th of February, yes, Rossini.
Rossini, yes, he was born on Leap Day. Right.
Yes.
On the night of December the 31st, 1913, who fired a gun, was arrested and sent to a waif's home in New Orleans?
9th of December, 1913.
Yes.
He said under his breath, "New Orleans," right?
Mm. Yes, I did.
Yes, you may not have heard it.
Ah, struggling with the memories of New Orleans jazzmen.
Ah, yes.
Depends really what they play.
Oh, yeah,
if it's piano.
Well, he was sent to a waif's home as a result. And when he got there, they taught him to play the cornet.
Louis Armstrong.
Thank you.
Satchball.
Goodness, yes, the mark. Yeah, all right. Ian, John's question concerned Rossini, born on Leap Day, who, thanks to a similar chance, found that he'd only served 5 years of a 21-year contract.
Ah.
Yes.
This very sad case of the Pirate's Apprentice, yes. Frederick, in yes. The Pirates of Penzance, and so honest was he,
yes.
That, or is he, because it is still done, that he tells his fiancée that he can't possibly marry her until the contract is up. And this is in my sort of 1880-something. And he says that, as I was born in this way, I shall not be able to marry you until 1940. and she comes back with the splendid remark, "It seems so long."
That's right. Dennis, on December the 30th, 1879, the premiere of The Pirates took place at the Bijou Theatre, Paignton, in Devonshire. One day later, at the Fifth Avenue Theatre, New York City. Rather odd. Why?
Why, even somebody who deals in the humble way that Frank and I do, with the laws of copyright, have this ground into our head. Yes, they had to perform it publicly in order to establish a copyright in front of an audience.
That's right.
Now, to also properly publish it, had to be performed in front of an audience.
To prevent pirating by U.S. management. Mm. That's really what happened. Does anyone, any of you, know what gave Gilbert the idea for the plot? Do any of you know that? A real-life happening gave him the idea.
Yes, it was supposed to have been Sir William Penn, who founded Pennsylvania, and his aunt had a pie shop. And she charged a lot of money for these pies, and somebody was complaining about the pie rates of Penn's aunt. That goes back even as far as the copywriting.
It doesn't seem to be what I've got here. Gilbert himself was kidnapped from his nurse by bandits near Naples. And this gave him the idea. It could have been called the Bandits of Naples instead of the Pirates of Penzance. Some identification of tunes I'm going to play very briefly on the piano. Maddening how familiar some tunes can be, less familiar perhaps than their titles. John.
Yes.
Right. John, published in 1903, what is this? Yes. What is it?
It's a waltz.
Yes. Do you know the title?
No.
No. It's Léhar by Franz Léhar. It's the gold and silver waltz.
Good.
You took that very well.
Yes, yes. Frank, on the chin.
Frank, this tune is familiar enough and has been since 1910.
That's my period.
What is it?
It's by Herman Fink.
Yes.
And it's
right.
Called In the Shadows.
Yes, that's right. In the Shadows. Good.
That's my period.
1912 saw the first performance of this. That one?
Yes, I don't know the composer, but it's called Knights of Gladness.
Yes, and it's by Charles Antliffe.
And Charles Antliffe.
Yes, you've got the mark. Dennis, the original music copy calls this a characteristic piece. Oh. It dates from 1907.
I tell you why I know this, because there used to be an act called Revnell and West.
Yeah.
And they used to do this, and Ethel Redwell, the big ones, we used to say, Gracie's now going to do the grasshopper's dance by the ukulele.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Whereas Hermione Gingold always had it in for Boccherini. Do you remember?
Yeah.
This was Boccalossi, this was, yes. We come to words from warlike songs. John, where will you find a reference to Lucifer in a song?
I should think in any setting of Milton.
Oh, very high-class answer.
Yes. Lucifer to yes.
That'll do, Frank.
Yes. Smile, boys, that's the style.
Either of you know the title of it.
What?
No.
I'll get to it. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag.
You're toying with me, aren't you? Yes, pack up your troubles, the song. Right, Frank, your turn. Take the shilling. What's that from?
Willing, don't take the shilling. I'll make a man out of you.
Yeah, I'll make a man of you. Sung by, do you remember who in Oh, What a Lovely World?
Well, it depends who was playing the role.
Well, in the film. It does, actually. Yes, it does depend. Maggie Smith.
Yes, it was
Maggie Smith. Mm. Ian. Coal fatigue. Where will I find that in a song?
Coal fatigue. The miner's dream of home.
Coal fog.
No.
Wait a minute.
Spoken rather than sung.
Yes, it's it's one of those shouted bits in the sergeant when the sergeant major's on parade on the square.
Come on, girl.
All the folks passing by.
Oh, fatigue,
he
says. Yes.
Or the
jack.
Yes.
Boom up, boom up.
Yes.
What the hoover?
That's the one.
The way he handles the men
is right. Dennis, your patriotic pastime.
Is that? Yeah. Now wait a minute. I think this is. Isn't this in a book that we're both from?
Yes, here we go. We got it.
Because
brothers,
it's. I don't know the tune, but I remember that the lyric went something like, "We've got a bigger and better war for your patriotic pastime. We don't know what we're fighting for, but we didn't know that last time.
We didn't know that.
And it's the verse to strike up the band, which is actually an ironic song, and everybody plays the patriot. And he had to alter it for World War II, didn't he? Had to make it less.
Yes, it's from Strike Up the Band. You got to it in the end. Let's turn to some film music, slightly unusual film music. John, you won't know this theme, I think, but an Australian composer wrote it for the 1947 film of an Irish playwright's 1895 success. Work out the film.
1947 film.
Yes. 1895 success, though he had another success that same year, this Irish playwright.
An Irish playwright.
Yes.
Wilde.
Well, Wilde is an Irish playwright, that's right, but you're not referring to him, are you?
Why not?
You would be, then.
Well, he was born in Dublin. He qualifies.
Well, he was born in Dublin. But you said he's an Australian composer?
Yep.
Well, now, would it be Arthur Benjamin?
It would. Now, what's
not with that accent, it would.
Well, Arthur Benjamin doesn't have an Australian accent. He was one of the best cooks, incidentally, I've ever come across.
Yes, but the answer to the question is the title of the film.
Oh, A Woman of...
No, the other one.
Importance of...
No, the other one.
Lady Windermere.
Lady...
No, the other one.
Well, it wasn't Reading Jail, anyway.
No, it wasn't. De Profundis. It was an ideal husband. Half a mark for Arthur Benjamin.
Oh, thanks.
Frank, this gentle theme by Richard Rodney Bennett... Frank, that theme, isn't it nice, depicted a lady whose close companion was mad, bad and dangerous to know.
Ah.
Now, what would the film title be?
Well, Mad, Bad, Dangerous and to Know, Mad, Bad and Dangerous to Know, was Lord Byron's description of his ex-girlfriend, Lady Caroline Lamb.
Yes, that's the title of the film, Lady Caroline Lamb. Robert Bolt's script, remember who the girl was?
Yes, Susan Miles.
Sarah Miles.
Who's Susan Miles?
keep her out of this.
Oh, I remember Goldstairs. Flats.
Ian, a waltz theme by Angela Morley to depict a seagull name of Kihar. I think it's pure seagull music. But the title of the film...
Is it...
Dennis?
Where Seagulls Dare. How about there's a gull in my soup?
Seagull of Alcatraz. Any ideas? I gave you the name of the...
It's only Jonathan Livingston, as far as I know.
No, I gave you the name of the seagull. Oh.
Did you?
For shame.
No, Cunar or something.
I have a friend who looks out of his window on this very place.
Does he?
Anybody know what it's called? Yes, Watership Down.
Oh.
Yes. Andrew Lloyd Webber looks out of his window and there's Watership Down outside there. That's where he lives. You didn't get it, did you?
No.
Dennis, music by Ron Goodwin, which for once doesn't really seem to evoke the title of the picture. It was made in 1972. Dennis, introduced...
I must tell you, because Ian said it's the kind of music they play at the beginning of a television award show.
Yes, that's right. That introduced Hitchcock's first British film for 22 years. So the title, in a word...
Well, it was Frenzy, that film, wasn't it?
That's the one.
Was it for Frenzy?
The one.
It wasn't very frenzied.
The theme for Frenzy. Love is the subject, would you believe, of the songs in this final non-scoring round. Frank, as time goes by... He's looking at you, kid.
Okay. You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. Let no one handle my. It's still the same old story. A fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
John's song is from the Maid of the Mountains. Love will find a way.
I was once in the Maid of the Mountains.
Where?
I was a
lead the mountain. The mountain or the maid?
No. No, I was a fisherman in Act Two, I think, and a brigand in Act Three. I can't remember what it was in Act One. Dead loss, I should think. Whate'er befall, I still recall that sunlight mountainside, where hearts are true and skies are blue and love's the only guide. If faithful to my trust I stay, no fate can fill me with dismay. Love holds the key to set me free, we'll find a way.
Let's have another one there.
All of 80 years ago, Kate Carney used to sing about Liza Johnson. Now it's Dennis.
Better.
Right. Starts right.
Right. Liza, you are my donut. You are my little peach. Meet me round at the fish shop, and I will stand you a penny for each. Lord love you, no bloke is gonna kiss you. Not much while I'm your beau. If I should lose me tiffer, then it's what O, Liza Johnson, what O.
Liza Johnson. Words by Tom Moore, music by Trad, accompaniment by, didn't have a certain amount of luck, singing by Ian Wallace. The Young May Moon.
The Young May Moon.
The Young May Moon is beaming, love. The glow-worm's lamp is gleaming, love. How sweet to roll through Morna's grove, while the drowsy world is dreaming, love. Then away, the heavens look bright, my dear. 'Tis never too late for delight, my dear. And the best of all ways to lengthen our days is to steal a few hours from the night, my dear. Now all the world is sleeping, love, and the sage his star watch keeping, love. And I, who star more glorious far, is the eye from that casement peeping, love. Then awake till rise of sun, my dear. The sage's glass will shun, my dear. For in watching the flight of bodies of light, he might happen to take thee for one, my dear.
It's just time to tell you that the victors in this week's contest are John Amis and Frank Muir.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.